Creating Change with Doug Foresta, a show dedicated to creativity and emotional healing. Creating Change on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Doug Foresta.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Creating Change. This is Doug Foresta, as always, and my guest today is Dr. Tracy Bennett, and we're going to be talking about something near and dear to my heart. I have a 10-year-old son myself, and thinking about how to keep kids safe on the internet. And this is a big issue. My son always says to me, Daddy, I know how to use your phone better than you do. And he's right about that. And I'm not even really a big technophobe. I like technology and he still knows how to use it better than me. So I'm very excited to have someone on to talk about the issue of internet safety. And without further ado, I'll just introduce Dr. Tracy Bennett and bring her right on. She is a grateful mother of three feisty kids, a psychologist with 20 years of private practice, and a university professor. She created Get Kids Internet Safe in response to an epidemic number of screen media problems that were presenting in her practice, problems that people weren't publicly talking about. And her passion is soaking in the beautiful chaos of her busy home and helping get kids internet safe because she hears the stories about why we need it most. Dr. Tracy Bennett, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Doug.
Thank you. So yeah, let's talk about, I thought the first thing that we could talk about is, first of all, maybe just define what is internet safety. I think that would be something that maybe a good departure point is. What do you mean by internet safety?
Well, you know, saying it like internet safety is a little misleading at this point because I'm really talking about screen media safety at this point, including iPhones, tablets, computers, even television. And I think it's a hot topic now because, as you know, screen media is being marketed to kids as young as infants now. So it's an unusual family that doesn't have screen media in the hands of their kids from a very young age.
It really is amazing. I mean, you can give, I've seen this, that you can give an iPad or a tablet to an 18-month-old. And they will intuitively know what to do with it.
Right. And you know, we call them screen media natives. We're screen media immigrants. So just
definitely,
like you said on the intro, most of us already feel outmaneuvered by our kids from the beginning. And never in history have our children known more than we have on something as powerful as screen media. And I think that, you know, seeing, you know, I've been in practice 20 years. I have never seen anything like this before. I have families coming in with kids of all ages in really difficult situations that could have been prevented. And when I was ready to set up for my three kids, and like you, you know, I'm kind of an early adopter. I'm kind of technically savvy. But we were having a hard time containing our kids, too. So once I started diving into the research, I realized there wasn't a lot of products out there that was user-friendly for parents, and that's what I set out to do, was get kids internet safe.
So say more about the biggest risks and problems that you see for screen media use. Like you said, you know, kids are using screen media more earlier and more than ever. What do you see as the top risks that people identify for, you know, for kids and screen media use?
I have a whole presentation on the number of risks. There's so many. It seems like the top three risks parents identify from my surveys is parents are concerned about internet predators. Online pornography comes up a lot. And also social media and cyberbullying. A lot of what I see, too, is overuse issues, like using screen media instead of face-to-face relationships. A multitasking that gets in the way of good academic performance. I'm a university professor too, and we talk about it a lot, that people are just kind of inundated by screen media and it interferes with their ability to do important things well, whether it's have good quality relationships or, you know, get their homework done or just feel at peace during the day without feeling overloaded. There's just so many ways that screen media impacts us.
The more, when I was preparing to do this episode, you know, as a parent, it was just making me think, man, it's just really, it is really scary. I'm curious for you, what are some, because I know that you have a practice and you work with people as a psychologist. What are some of the most concerning things, or is there anything that sticks out for you recently that you've seen related to intimacy?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I'm in practice today. I took some time out to talk to you, and I just had a client in this morning where I was talking to her parents. This little gal's only 11 years old, but she's already, 5'8". And they caught her on a site making inappropriate comments in the comment sections that were funny and actually culturally appropriate for that site, but not anywhere near appropriate for anybody under 18. And they're in a panic. So they came to me to help them co-parent an agreement that's going to work with their daughter without making her really angry with them. And one of the things I was talking to them about that I'm very concerned that I'm seeing a lot is this digital media bridge that has occurred. I haven't seen it written anywhere, but I'm seeing it in my practice of middle school girls interacting with high school boys. What's happening here and everywhere is, how boys used to collect Pokemon cards, and they had their rare cards that were worth a lot of points, and then the more common cards. Well, by the time they hit high school, they're starting to collect nude photos of girls in the community, which is pretty scary stuff already, right? But then when you think about these high school boys are making lists of the cute middle school girls coming in. So these girls are starting at 11 years old, and they're collecting photos of them. And they'll groom them just like internet predators do. So they'll call and say, hey, you're really cute, and they befriend them, and they groom them slowly in order to get a picture out of them. As soon as they get a picture, they send it to all their friends. They add it to their collection. And then these photos of these young girls are re-released over several years and collected before these girls even know what's coming to them. And to be honest, a lot of the girls seek it out. They want to have high school boys' attention. And so they're making contact on their cell phones. And the only thing they need to do this is texting and a smartphone.
And you're talking about, man, it makes my blood boil just thinking about that.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's so hard to like go on to the next question and be like, so tell me more. It's like, the father in me wants to like.
We can even talk more because I have the girls in here, some of them kind of cocky and saying, oh, I have the most wonderful picture out that they're really proud of. And then other girls who are ruined by it, devastated. Years later, devastated. And then I also have the boys who, it doesn't even occur to them that they're doing something wrong to another human being. And then their frontal lobes kind of come online a couple years later, and they're very ashamed, and they can't take it back.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Part of it is, to me, and I wonder what you think about this, is you're talking about handing over this powerful technology to not fully formed human beings yet, right? These are not, we forget that, even the smartest, most savvy child is still developmentally a child of whatever age they are.
That's right. Yeah, our frontal lobes, which is what's involved with decision-making, impulsivity, shifting mental sets, it's not developed until we're 23 years old. 23. So we see our kids, at 11, 12, 13, even 15, 16 and older, we see them be so sophisticated, and they can argue us into anything, right? So we're like,
right. Oh, yes.
These are fully formed people because they can beat us in an argument, but they're really not. They don't have the capacity to look into the future and understand consequence.
So,
and yet they have
what do you,
powerful
yeah.
tool. Yeah.
Boy, no, I'm so glad to have you on. I think that a lot of people will really relate to this. And if you don't have children yourself, ask yourself, as a listener, do you have, certainly there are children in your life, right? Do you have grandchildren? Do you have nieces, nephews? That we all have a vested stake in this, because we all have children in our lives that we care about. But what do you see as the biggest mistakes then that us parents make when it comes to screen media and internet safety?
I would say the number one mistake parents make is they think there's not going to be an issue until their kids are teenagers. They think, I'm going to hold off on talking about these hard things like sex and online pornography, and I'm not going to lock down screen media rules until they hit high school or until they're teenagers. But what's happening is these kids are getting into trouble far younger, and the parents are the last to know. So the rules and regulations and the discussions and the connection that you have with your kids needs to start far younger than parents realize. And you have to lay it out in kind of a deliberate, strategic way rather than give them a ton of freedom because they're young and you don't think they're going to get into trouble, and then lock them down after they get into trouble. That causes real problems.
Well, as you know, as you said, I mean, the other piece is that, so you're talking about, you know, high schoolers are not very bright, but they're a little bit brighter than middle schoolers. And then you have maybe, you know, your child is a middle schooler or high schooler, but then you have adults, right, who are going after children, and you just can't compete brain-wise, right? And an adult is easily going to run circles around a child if that's their intention.
Easily. You know, the truth is I have adults in my practice who have been victimized by screen media strategies.
Sure.
You know, the people who are grooming are expert at it. You don't even realize how far you've gotten into it until you've already made a lot of mistakes. So if we can't count on adults being able to defend themselves, what about our 8-year-olds and our 10-year-olds? So I just did a presentation locally in a private school, and I made a mistake in announcing the presentation because I wrote, you know, get kids internet safe, and I got some feedback from my survey that said, oh, we didn't think we needed to come because my kids aren't on the internet yet. And then I asked him, well, do they have a tablet? Yes, they have their own tablet. You know,
well,
do they
on
have
the internet?
So they're essentially, they may be playing games, and the parents think that they're monitoring them. But this little girl I had this morning, her first predator was on, I can't remember which game it was, but it was a game that had a chat feature. It was a little kid game with a chat feature. And
right.
If you talk to kids and teenagers, they'll tell you they've been approached inappropriately in very large numbers. And it doesn't take long, even with children's sites and children's games. And parents just don't realize that.
Like, yeah, it really, I'm so, like I said, I'm so glad to have you on. It's a difficult topic to talk about because I think part of it is, to me, it's like you don't want to think about it as a parent, but yet you really have to, because whether you're thinking about it or not, it's out there. And so we have to keep our eyes open to what's really going on. What would you say to someone who says, well, then I'll just keep tablets and I'll keep my child off of the internet. Is that possible to do?
No, it's not realistic at all. In fact, just I hear this so often, just this morning. So these parents that I was talking to, they were saying, well, we're locking her down. She's just going to have a flip phone now. Which is fine, except that the neighbor she spends all her time with has every social media app out there at 11. So even if they manage their homes really, really well, this little gal still has access to the internet. So I was saying, well, we're not done with our plan. You know, just because we lock down some of her devices and come up with a strategy to develop things slowly over time, because you can't just tell kids they can't use tech. I mean, it would really throw them behind in so many ways, not to mention academically, socially, et cetera. So you have to give them tech access. You just have to do it in a way that's strategic. And then they're just going to use their friends' stuff, their friends' screens as well. So it takes more planning than just within your home. You have to form a connection and a discussion. You have to educate them about current events. And you have to go over what happens when they go next door and, you know, Johnny shows them something on his tablet, or Janie gets on Snapchat and wants you to be a part of it.
I'm thinking that it's as much education for adults as it is for kids, too, because, like, I know Snapchat, and I know the thing is, too, like, I'm fairly well-versed in social media channels for, let's say, marketing my business, right? But I don't necessarily know the apps or programs that younger kids are using to, you know, a lot of, like, Snapchat I know recently, but I know people were using it, kids were using it a lot more. I think the joke is by the time your parents start using something, it's done, right? That's usually when it jumps the shark.
Yeah, it's a constantly moving target. Well, that's where my husband and I got stuck. We have a 21-year-old and we have an 11-year-old, so there's 10 years difference. So the 21-year-old, we kind of got through digital media without any big catastrophes, and we're feeling pretty proud of ourselves. But we have these little ones that came up with screens in their hand from the very beginning. And so, even, you know, I'm a professional researcher. I'm like a dog with a bone. You know, I'm a university professor, so I know how to research. And then when I got online trying to figure out a strategy for the two little ones, what I was running across is all these unrealistic strategies, like you have to monitor them, you know, every second on their screens, or don't allow kids to have that. And it's just not happening. It's just not possible. So the truth is, you have to be sensible about it, and recognize that kids are going to make mistakes, and you have to be there to help pick them up. I mean, the most important part is forming a connection so that you can teach them how to deal with problems when they come up, because they will. No matter how good of a parent you are, no matter, you know, how thorough you've been, you have to be ready for them to come to you, and you have to form a good cooperative relationship. And the only way to do that really is to start dialogue from a young age and be savvy yourself. So Get Kids Internet Safe really is more of a parenting product, so that we, without a lot of grueling research and confusion and frustration, you know, can be equipped enough to form that connection and be that person that they'll go to.
Well, I know that you have, I mean, I know we'll talk in a moment about a little more about how people can find out more about Get Kids Internet Safe. But I thought, you know, we should definitely not conclude the episode without giving people a little bit of, you started to touch on a little bit of what parents can do. Can you say a little bit more about, you know, if I'm a parent, I'm listening to this and I'm going, oh my God, I've got to do something. What are some things that I can do as a parent to help protect my child?
Oh, that's such a super great question.
Yeah.
One is study up. You know, you have to have like a working knowledge of screen media in order to have conversations with your kids. The other thing is, don't be afraid to learn from them. You know, my 21-year-old and her friends all Snapchat me on a regular basis. It's our way of staying in connection. They're actually my only Snapchat friends, I have to say. But just from that, I learned how to use it. And it's really fun. It's not like the super scary portal to danger that I thought it was. But it definitely has its risks. And then you have to set up some sensible rules and guidelines, which is, you know, what I provide in my free blog, which is getkidsinternetsafe.com/blog. All that's free information. And that helps parents know, you know, how to set up stuff from the beginning instead of waiting until your kids are in trouble and then yanking it back. So my very favorite tool, I'll say quickly, because I know we don't have a ton of time for me to go through every tool that I offer, but one is a living agreement where you sit down with your kids, and it's living because it changes as your kids age and as you run across new things. But you sit down and you have this negotiated agreement about what your family will do in regard to screen media, and it talks about blackout times and which apps and which websites, and also about netiquette and digital footprint. I mean, every part on that is comprehensive so that parents can caution their kids, teach them problem solving, teach them how to be assertive, so that they're fully equipped when that kind of risk happens upon them.
You know, as you're saying it, I think about, I know this is kind of silly, but I was thinking about, it's almost like the parents who were alive when fire was discovered, you know, that it's one of those things where there's a lot of great things you can do with fire, but I'm sure that people must have been like, oh my God, you know, my child's playing with fire. And for us, I mean, I grew up, you know, in the 70s, and, you know, I mean, we had Pong, I think, maybe. I mean, I remember, yeah, you know,
you're
Atari
lucky.
Didn't even come out until later on. And we're really in this generation where, as parents, that we're having to learn. I guess when I hear you say it, it's a very powerful technology that obviously can have a lot of positive uses, but it can also have a lot of dangerous uses, and that we can't just, it's not an option to do nothing.
That's right. It's not an option to do nothing. And that's why I started, because I was seeing parents who kept putting it off because it's so scary. And then one of my girlfriends said, you know, Tracy, when people hear you talking about this, they're going to think you're one of those crazy mothers who like won't let your kids do anything fun. And we both kind of giggled, because the truth is I'm a mom. So I have to be sensible with my kids. You know, I can't lock them down and have them be that weird kid that never learned how to use a keyboard.
Right.
You know, we like technology. We embrace technology. We're academics. We like to teach our kids, you know, stuff, and we connect on. We are constantly showing each other funny stuff and interacting that way. And I think that's the strength of this, is you want to be savvy enough that you're fun instead of, you know, the parent that your kids learn to sneak and work around and lie to. You know, they need to know that you're savvy enough that you'll discuss it with them when you have concerns. And also, you know, Doug, you brought up a good point that kids are kids, and they're going to make mistakes. They're going to make mistakes on screen media too. And just because we're in a panic doesn't mean that we should overreact and shame them and lock them down. Like, they're going to make mistakes, and we have to be here to help them work it through.
Which is why they should visit www.getkidsinternetsafe.com. I know that you also have a free article, right, as well, for people?
On Get Kids. I have so many, right?
the three most powerful, effective things you can do to get kids internet safe?
Yes. So we put the three most powerfully effective things you can do to get kids internet safe on Get Kids Internet Safe. We also have a cyberbully guide, which is www.getkidsinternetsafe.com/cyberbullyguide. And I have a blog page, which has a free article every week that covers a lot of topics, you know, face recognition technology, different social media apps, age guidelines, some blogs about me as a mom and what I've run across. Some are a little goofy and funny, and some are more serious. Just things to get parents thinking, so that when we're sitting around the dinner table, we know what to bring up, like about, you know, cyberbullying events and risks, so our kids know what's coming and they're prepared for it.
Dr. Tracy Bennett, I really appreciate you coming on. This is such a unique topic we haven't discussed on the show before, and one that personally, certainly is important to me. And I know that, like I said, anyone who's a parent or has children in your life that you care about, that this is something I would definitely encourage people to check out, because like you said, we have to educate ourselves, and it doesn't mean that we have to be ogres either, right? We don't have to be.
That's right.
again, if the best way for people to reach you, find out more about you, is to
what is the best way?
Yes.
So Get Kids Internet Safe, or you can also email me at drtracybennett@getkidsinternetsafe.com.
Tracy Bennett, thanks for joining me on Creating Change.
Thanks so much for having me, Doug. It was really fun. Thanks.
Thank you. So thanks, everyone, for listening. And we'll be back next time with more great guests. Until then, keep creating. The world needs your gifts. This is Doug Foresta at Creating Change.